Views and opinions expressed on the following program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of the staff or management of KLAV.
This is Gambling with an Edge with Bob Dancer and Frank Nealon. Frank is the author of The Secret World of Video Poker Progressives, available at his website, ProgressiveVP.com, and is a former manager of the largest Las Vegas progressive slot team and has over 20 years of gambling experience. Bob Dancer is the best-known video poker player and writer in the country today, with more books than we can mention. Bob's won more than $1 million during a six-month period and has taught video poker at several casinos. To check out Bob's products, visit BobDancer.com. So if you're a Vegas local or are planning a trip here, this is one show you don't want to miss, because we'll be teaching you how to gamble with an edge. Now, here's Bob and Frank.
Hello, folks, and welcome to Gambling with an Edge. Before we begin tonight, Bob, I'd like to say something funny.
All right, go ahead.
Something funny. I'm done. Yeah.
Very funny.
Well, yeah, I thought so.
We have rim shots here. I didn't know we had
my microphone smells really good, too. I think whoever was using this before must have been wearing perfume.
Uh-huh. Good. Or drinking it. How about some listener questions?
Yeah, we need to get caught up on those.
One of the ones I wanted to talk about was actually posted on VP Free from someone who posted by the name of Night of the Iguana. And I don't know who that is. I think it's a male, so I'm going to call him he. I've never met him. I have read many of his posts over the years. I respect him. I think he's very competent.
And I believe it's a woman.
Do you? All right.
But I don't know.
I will call it. Oh, it doesn't matter. Anyway, the question is, how do you convince a casino to bring back high meter progressives now that teams are no longer allowed by the IRS? This would be an idea of such as a 97% base game with a 2% meter, or 96% with a 3% meter.
I'm getting excited.
Yeah. Generally speaking, I think this is a good idea, and I've recommended it to several casinos. They are in some places. But the part of this that I want to talk about is he asked, how do you convince a casino to do this? And part of that is, how do you convince anybody to do anything? Some people are the Pied Piper and can talk the kids into following them anywhere. And there's some people who are so bad at convincing people that around them, hookers play hard to get.
Well, if it's men, you know, you just add the phrase, and then you'll meet women to the end of whatever you're trying to get them to do.
Perhaps. But in casinos and players, there's people on both sides of that who are, think of it's a black and white world of us versus them. And so if you're a casino manager, you may think of the players as the enemies. And so any suggestion that a player makes, especially a competent player, is viewed with a suspicion that, yeah, we'll put this in and you're going to send in all your friends and you're going to take us to the cleaners. And so it's real hard to convince them to do something for the good of the players because they're very suspicious. So if somehow you can get by that and you can convince them that you know what you're talking about and you have a better idea than what they have and you know better how to do their job than they do, which is not so easy to do, then, and they do it, now it's the players who are going, well, this guy talks to the casinos, now he's the enemy. Trust me, I know of which I speak. So convincing somebody to do something can be pretty tough sometimes.
Well, you know, you also have another thing going against you. I think I actually talked about this on air before. Like, my friend's little daughter was listening to some 1970s rock music I had mm-hmm. playing on my car stereo, and she loved it. She couldn't wait to tell me how great it was. But as soon as she asked, well, when did this come out? And I said 1974, she changed the channel.
And, well, yeah, that's ancient history.
And the reason for that is because there is a really strong impetus in society to go along with whatever is going on now. Trends. And the trend in the gaming industry right now is for higher return games. And those higher return games, you can't stick 2 and 3% meters on. But what I've experienced, because I've talked to some casino managers,
I'm not
about
sure
this.
That's the trend. I see games getting tighter. I don't see the games getting looser. But all right.
Well, what they said to me is, well, those games aren't being offered by the companies. You know, they're just not on their list of the new stuff that's coming out.
Oh yeah, they are. They are. All the game manufacturers, like on Double Double Bonus,
yeah,
they'll be able to, depending on what state you're in. There's over 100 or maybe barely under 100, a 99% version, 98% version, 97% version, down mm-hmm. to 90. So and
but it's become industry standard to not put more than a 1% meterize on a progressive.
That may be.
And now that it's become industry standard to put less than 1%, it's very hard to affect a paradigm shift.
That's true. They have to trust that you know what you're talking about. Should we have another listener question?
Yes. This was a really interesting one, and we could probably talk about this a lot, so we're just going to – let's keep it short. I'm not sure – well, it's CONDONN2478 wrote, how much of my bankroll should I set for a session, knowing that I will come out ahead in the long run? And two, how does a person...
Let's just stop with one. That's enough. Or do you think two is more important? In which case, why did you read one anyway?
Well, it's all part of the same question.
Okay.
How does a person calculate what denomination to play with bankroll under special circumstances such as multiple point days, drawings, etc.? So how do you figure out your bankroll? Now, my system is really easy. You want me to go first?
Sure.
Six times the amount of money that it's going to take to hit the jackpot. So if you're talking like in the old days,
talking about six times cost of a royal.
Six times cost of a royal.
And
that was
cost of a royal is currently a foreign language to many of today's video poker players, including me. I have no idea how you calculate cost of a royal.
Okay, well, we'll have to go over that in another show.
Good.
But for 5-8 jacks or better, which was the most common type of progressive that we played.
Called 8-5 jacks or better, yes.
You just had to correct me, didn't you? 9,000 was our ballpark number. Now, that included wages, so it's actually a little bit less than that.
Okay.
But we called it 9,000. So if you wanted to go out and play 5-8 jacks or better, 8-5 jacks or better progressives, you would want 6 times 9.
So if you want
$54,000.
In your pocket. Now, this man is talking about a session bankroll.
I do not understand that concept.
Be that as it may, that's the question. Why did you try to answer? So he wants...
What is a session?
The way I would answer that question is I actually use Video Poker for Winners software and go to the bankroll situation. And on a given game, first of all, if it's under 100%, don't play. But if it's over 100%, including the slot club and promotions, then the question is how much money do you need for however much you want to play? So if you're going to be playing... Let's say you're going to be playing 2 hours, and you figure out how many hands is that. Is that 1,000 hands? Is that 1,500 hands? Is that 2,000? These are all parameters.
But how do you know you're going to hit the progressive in 2 hours?
You know, we're not talking progressives. We're talking about today's video poker, which does not have anything to do with progressives. And if I'm answering the question, it doesn't have anything to do with progressives because it's a non-issue for me.
Okay, I'll go stand in the corner.
You don't have to, but just but get with the times. So I would run this for... the number of hands I expected to play, say 2,000, and for the given stakes I wanted to play, and however much money I started with. Let's say I wanted to take $1,000 to start with and run through it. If it turns out that I would go broke more than 10% of the time with $1,000, I would say I don't have enough money. If I would go broke less than that, then I probably do for this session. So I would use the software to determine, and you'll find on Double Double Bonus, where it has a big variance, you need a lot more than you would with jacks or better. So we're talking about, so you have to know to start with how long you plan to play, and you're only going to go broke a relatively small percentage of the time for that. That would be a session bankroll as opposed to overall. We have, you want to ask another question? I think we need to do a commercial and then...
This should be a short one, I would think.
All right.
LDVP Player wrote, I think folks would like to know what VP games are the best to learn and why. What are the hardest to learn and why? And keep up the good work. Love the show.
Well, good. I'm glad you put in the last part. the best to learn has to do with what part of the country you live in, what is a slot club pay, what are the promotions, and what denomination you play. The best games for nickels are very different than the best games for dollars or for $5.
Well, as far as the hardest, right, I would say two pair better. Choker, right?
Well, maybe that. Maybe All American. I don't know. But two pair, you know, may not exist in many places. It rarely exists here in Vegas. And doesn't exist for all denominations. You can play it at Suncoast and get kicked out if you play on Wednesdays. It doesn't exist that many places. So just saying two pair or better may or may not be the hardest. But the best has to do with a combination of slot clubs and mailers and promotions.
That may have been a bad example. I think you can get kicked out of the Suncoast for wearing the wrong color shirt.
It's easy. 10 times point days, they seem to be more tendency to do this.
You know, you bring that up. The question I have always asked myself is, if I own this casino, would I want me as a player?
Hmm.
And, you know, arguably when I was playing Progressives, the answer to that question would be yes, absolutely. Since Progressive opportunities are now more limited, I still do play about half my play on Progressives, but I would now have to answer that question probably in the negative. I don't think I would want me as a customer in most cases. But then you also have to ask another question. And that question is, if I was going to ask me not to play at a casino, how would I do it? There's a certain, you know, protocol. And you don't kick people out for doing something that you've asked them to come and do. I think that is crossing the line. But obviously, you know, the kicking out is not the issue. It's the how it's done that's the issue. Would you agree?
I would agree, and I would agree that the Suncoast is doing it poorly. They're likely within their rights, and they're likely not doing a good job of it.
Because, I mean, if I just got a polite tap on the shoulder and say, listen, you know, you're a really good player. We know you. And this has happened to me before, by the way, at a casino many, many, many years ago, 18 years ago. They said, you're too good a player for us. Can we treat you to a dinner? And we'd like to ask you not to play our machines anymore. And I said, oh, sure. And I sat there chit-chatting with the casino manager for 5 minutes and shaking his hand. I mean, I couldn't dispute what he was saying.
I've had that conversation without the calories. Let me talk about the South Point.
We're doing our commercial now?
We are.
Okay, go.
And then soon after the commercial, we're going to get Gene Scott is going to be talking to us about taxes.
And don't anyone go away, because we're going to be talking about team training techniques tonight. It's our most VP-related discussion yet.
South Point is home to more than 10,000 machines paying more than 99%. No other casino anywhere in the world has this many decent machines. Double Point Days this month is Thursday, March 17th, midnight to midnight. You also get 5x points for slots that day, but we suspect few of our listeners play a whole lot of slots. Next week's free video poker class is 9-7 triple-double bonus, 1 o'clock in the showroom. This is a game for action junkies. It has a sky-high variance. When the machine is nice to you, it is very nice. When it isn't, it sucks. That's a technical term. On March 17th to 19th, beginning at 8 a.m., there will be free March Madness parties, open to everybody, betting stations, food and drink specials, and a free throw shooting contest against Ed O'Bannon and Jerome Junkyard Dog Williams are part of the fun you'll have there. In addition to all the NCAA tournament games are going to be on television.
I really enjoyed your quick quads class this last week, by the way.
Thank you. It's it is a complicated game, and it's a fun game. I think it's the most fun game in the video poker in the casino. I had a hard time convincing you of the fun feature. But you get so many four-of-a-kinds, it's a lot of fun. And on the double point days, that's the game I'm going to be playing.
Well, I was saying the class was fun, not the game.
Well, good. Thank you.
and the free water, of course.
Oh, the free water. Yeah, can't pass up the free water.
Can't pass up the free water. I actually have a little commercial of my own.
Okay.
Before I published my book, I'd been working for about a year at a wonderful computer company called Computer Repair Specialists. And doing on-site computer service. Of course, once I published the book, I had to part company with them because, you know, I just don't have any time anymore. But I've done a little. They still handle my email and my website, so I'd like to do a little commercial. Go ahead and play that for you. And I did actually work for these folks. I know them personally. Just a wonderful, wonderful company. Here it is.
Hi. I think there's something wrong with my computer. What should I do?
Why don't you call Computer Repair Specialists?
Oh, which one should I call?
I just told you.
When?
Just now.
You said I should call a computer repair specialist.
No, I said you should call computer repair specialists. It's the name of a company.
Oh, what do they do?
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here, but I think they repair computers. They're specialists at it.
Oh, I guess that was obvious, huh?
Apparently not to you. For virus and spyware removal, PC repair, service and upgrades, network solutions, managed services, email hosting, and offsite backups, call 248-8020 or visit us at 4625 Wynn Road, Suite 104. Computer repair specialist. It's more than a name. It's what we do.
And we're back.
Our guest, Jean Scott, is making her first visit to Gambling with an Edge, and it's anticipated that she'll be revisiting us every 2 or 3 months in the future. Jean has made a career out of penny pinching in the casino and elsewhere. Most of her books have the word frugal in there somewhere. She was dubbed the Queen of Comps in an interview on the hit television show 60 Minutes more than 15 years ago, and the name stuck, with Jean herself supplying much of the mucilage. All of her products may be found on the website queenofcomps.com, as well as on Frank's website, progressivevp.com. The one book Jean has written that doesn't have the word frugal in it is Tax Help for Gamblers, co-written with Marissa Chen. Whereas Marissa is an enrolled agent and hence more of a tax expert than Jean is, Jean has made herself knowledgeable about the subject, and taxes will be the subject of tonight's visit. Welcome, Jean Scott.
Hi.
Hi, Jean.
We're not going to introduce ourselves because you know us and our voices.
But when Bob said that you were known for being a penny pincher, I was thinking if this was England, you'd be known as a hey penny pincher.
Hey penny pincher. All right.
You are certainly good at being conservative. I'll give you that.
Many players believe that if they hit a jackpot of, say, $11.75 or $11.99, that this is tax-free because they did not receive a W-2G to come along with their jackpot. Is this correct, Jean?
No. Did you want to?
I was hoping for a little bit longer answer than that.
Okay. All right. Let me just read you here what the IRS says about this. It says, gambling winnings is one type of income to be put under other income on your tax return. And this means all winnings, whether they're from legal, illegal sources, cyberspace, overseas, whatever, whatever. Actually, it says, gross income means all income from whatever source derived. Now, I guess I should make a little note here. I'm not a judge on this, and I'm not going to talk about the moral implications and so forth. Most people aren't really bound by what the IRS says. They do what they want to if they can get by with it. And there are thousands, tens of thousands, maybe millions, I don't know, of people that if they don't receive any paperwork from the from the casino that's going to be sent to the IRS, they will not count anything that they have as far as gambling. I'm just telling you here what the IRS says they want you to do. What you do is your judgment call.
Well, can I just add to that? This is a very alien sort of way of doing bookkeeping to me, because what we record, I mean, well, when I was running the team and ever since then, is we just record our results for the casino. I mean, if we walked in and hit an $1,100 jackpot or a $5,000 jackpot, it's irrelevant. What we put down is how much more money we have in our pocket when we walk out of the casino. So if we have a positive 600 result, it's a positive 600 result. It's irrelevant what hands made up that result. Isn't that the normal way to do it?
Well, that's the normal way, but now we're going to have to come into the situation as the IRS tells you one thing, and I think you're probably going to ask me a question about keeping records and how you file and that sort of thing. So right here is a good time to say that what the IRS says is not always clear. Like,
oh, it's usually clear what they say, but what they mean isn't clear.
What they mean, well, or what they say may be clear, but people can interpret that many different ways. Therefore, you know, it's not that clear. The IRS has this problem, and I've had this problem, and many of us have, that they want you to count that everything that you got a W-2G on, they want that to count as your income. When, as you just now said, everybody knows that when you hit a jackpot, you don't necessarily take that whole jackpot home, and it's just one hand.
Yes, and technically it would be impossible. If you hit a $1,200 jackpot, you had to put $1.25 in. I mean, even if you got it on your first hand, that jackpot does not represent a 100% win.
Right, right.
So it's impossible.
That's where we're getting the real problems, and we can talk about that later. Let's go on to some more maybe questions, and it'll come up there.
Since you mentioned records, let's say a player has not been keeping good records, and he somehow ends up with some W-2Gs, and he has some win-loss statements from the casino, which are notoriously inaccurate and manipulatable. Talk in this general area. What should this player do? Does the IRS accept these record, these win-loss statements as being evidence?
Well, this is actually a very common thing. People don't keep records. Then they hit a progressive. Maybe they only hit quarters, but they hit the progressive. Then they go up maybe to 50. They get then more W-2Gs. Then at the end of the year, they are kind of stuck. And so now one thing is it's very hard to make up records after the fact. The IRS likes records that are contemporaneous, meaning right at the same time when you have them. Now, how right at the same time? You might go home after a session and put it in your computer or something. But it's something that you shouldn't do at the end of the year. These win-loss statements have been brought up in court cases many, many times. They are good supporting evidence to your diary or whatever log you keep, but they've been mentioned many, many times in IRS cases that they do not take the place of a diary for the simple reason that I have never, and I mean, I've been doing this a long time, I have never, ever had a win-loss statement from a casino that was totally accurate with my records. Sometimes they put the W-2G amounts in a different place, or you don't know whether that's in the win-loss, and almost all of them have some place on the page that you get it. We don't, these are not considered complete records or something for the simple reason that you could just not use your card, and then they wouldn't know. They're very incomplete.
And cards can fall out.
Pardon?
And cards can fall out in the middle of the play.
Oh, sure.
It's very bad when they fall out.
Right. Although if you're mentioning pulling your card when you're dealt a good hand, that doesn't work near as well as it used to.
That's known as playus interruptus.
Yes.
Yes, because in a lot of record keeping now of the casinos, when that is dealt, that's still in their record, whether you take your card out or not. So.
Correct.
Yeah, I knew the, I think the first person that actually started that. I'm not going to say any names. Our next question, what are the advantages and disadvantages of filing as a professional gambler?
All right, let me give you the pros first. How about that?
We're talking about pros.
I don't mean the pro gambler. I mean the pros versus the cons.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The pros in doing that is you can net out your wins and losses on Schedule C or some sort of corporation report and so forth. That brings us back to this question that we've been talking about. If you put your – here's something people don't understand. They feel like you can put your wins and losses and add them up at the end of the year. And if you lost, you didn't have any wins, and you did not have to put them on your tax return. That's probably the biggest fallacy that inexperienced gamblers think. Of course, if I'd be glad to pay the IRS some money if I ever had a year that I won, but I never have. The IRS is not unclear about this. You have to put your wins under income, and then if you want to put your losses somewhere, it has to be if you have deductions and don't take the standard deduction. Well, you can see what happens here then. If you have a bunch of W-2Gs but you don't itemize, you're going to be paying on income that maybe, most likely, that you had losses. You're going to be paying on losses. You may have, on the whole year, you may have lost $2,000, but you had $6,000 in W-2Gs, but you had to pay tax on the $6,000.
One of my buddies is actually going through this right now. He itemized his result. So if he walked into a casino and walked out in pocket $1,200, he wrote plus $1,200. But he didn't, on a separate line, itemize any W-2Gs that he got. So the IRS sent him a statement saying that he owed them like $28,000 in taxes. I believe that year he made about $36,000 profit for the year. So that's almost like 90%, you know, of his total income. And he paid taxes on that $36,000 completely fairly.
Right. So to avoid that problem, back to the idea, if you file as a professional gambler as opposed to a recreational gambler, you now have a separate schedule where you put your win and losses, and then I'll give you another while we're on this. You could put your expenses. This would be your business. Then if you won, it doesn't matter about the W-2s or anything else, you carry over to the page one of your federal return just your wins.
Mm-hmm.
Your losses, your net wins. As
when I looked into it about 10 years ago, I read somewhere that only 4,800 people nationwide file as professional gamblers. Do you have any modern statistics on that?
No, I don't. And all right, that leads me right into the cons of this.
Mm.
This is a very, how can I say this? The IRS does not like professional gamblers.
No, they don't.
Casinos don't either.
Right. But now we're talking about taxes. Now, you put yourself in the position of more likely, anytime you're in a cash business, whether it's gambling or whatever, you're going to be open to an audit more. The IRS has said, publish this, we are going after cash businesses, and we're going to audit them more. So a lot of people who maybe could file as professionals, they just don't want that problem. So that's a con to them. But the biggest con is the fact, for some, that you have to pay the total self-employment income. You know, when you work for another company, they pay half and you pay half into Social Security. Well, if you're a professional gambler, you're working for yourself, you have to pay the whole amount, which is about 15%. And so I know some professional gamblers who do not want to pay that 15%. Now, that could be a little short-sighted if you think you're going to be able to gamble till the day you die and make money at it. Maybe you don't need it, but for some people who don't have a good Social Security buildup, maybe you want to pay into Social Security. But anyway, that's one of the cons to some people. Also,
this the last point here, Gene. We're a little bit running out of time.
Oh,
so
okay.
The last con here. And then we'll ask.
Okay. Not all the benefits to a regular business is offered to a businessman, a business person gambler. So that's another con.
Very good. I appreciate very much coming by. We're going to have you on in a few months talking about comps and things. Is there anything quickly about queenofcomps.com you want to tell us before we let you go?
Well, people ask me about accountants or people I could give as a recommendation.
Yes.
And also there's some other things that I could do. I'm going to put on my blog, which I should mention that. And I'm going to go right to my blog when I'm over here and put some recommendations in and some other things they might be able to read, including a link to a new memo from the IRS that might help some of us.
Good.
And put my blog, just go to LasVegasAdvisor.com and click on Frugal Vegas. That's Gene Scott's blog. And you'll have some additional information.
Very good. Thank you very much, Gene.
Great talking to you as always. You're an inspiration to us.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. So
we're going to have...
Very interesting. I didn't know about 90% of what she said, by the way.
Yeah, she's... taxes are a scary subject. So we're going to have a commercial now, and after the commercial, we're going to give away a few things.
Yeah, so get your phones ready. We are going to give away some books from our guests that we had a couple weeks ago, and we're just going to take one and two callers. So go with your commercial, Bob.
All right. Silverton, this casino looks like they're going to be rolling out a brand new slot club on April 1st.
Woo-hoo.
And trust me, it's not an April Fool's joke. The preliminary news is that the new club will return 0.30% for video poker and twice that for slots, awarded in terms of free play, not cash, or you can use for points for the normal kind of things. This is a good thing. Virtually every other slot club in Las Vegas pays cash back or free play in lieu of cash back, or sometimes both, and now the Silverton will be joining the party. There's going to be the new points versus old points, where the points earned before April 1st will be redeemable in the same way they are now, and the points earned on or after April 1st will have the free play option. At the rate of 0.30%, this new slot club will pay more than the current club. That means there's going to be adjustments made to the mailers or the multiple point days or the machines or the whatever. So we always have to see how it all pans out, because it's the sum of all those things that make this good or not. I'm personally optimistic that it's going to work out, and so that I'm going to still find that a good place to play. I play there now, and I expect to play there again. But I will have to wait to see how it all shakes out before we know that for sure.
You don't know the future, huh?
Don't know the future. Well, I do know the future, that our next commercial is about the Palms. Palms is one of the two casinos along the South Point that's in the discussion for the best video poker in Las Vegas, which actually means the best video poker in the world. For the play, earn, and win this month, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, through this coming Monday, 14th, you can earn bottles of booze, such as Grey Goose, Dewar's, and etc. Starting next Wednesday, the 16th, the prizes switch to electronic gadgets, such as MP3 players, power mat chargers, and more. As always, you get to keep the points, and it costs more points playing video poker than it does playing slots. If you treat the value of these gifts as cash equivalents, these play, earn, and win promotions usually add more than 0.5% to your equity, if you like those particular items being offered. As a non-drinker, a bottle of Grey Goose earning that is not of particular value to me. But other players, they have no trouble getting people to go for Grey Goose. On Friday nights this month, they're holding drawings for a Volkswagen Jetta car. This car is valued about $17,500, or you can take 80% of that in cash, which comes out to a tick below $14,000. There are four other modest prizes, $250 or $500, but basically, first prize is everything. It's hard to place an accurate assessment on what this drawing is worth. Perhaps 0.25%, perhaps twice that, and the variance is pretty high because it's winner take all. Still, players are going to find the promotions stackable. By stackable, we mean you're going to start with a decent game. You're going to have 0.25% slot club in terms of free play. The PEW promotions add 0.5% or so, and the drawing adds another 0.25% or so. And it all adds together. Gambling with an edge kind of means adding up all these things so that the player has the advantage. That's how you do it. As always at the Palms, there are many of the loose video poker machines that are excluded from these promotions. All right.
You want to hear a weird one? You're talking about the alcohol. There was a casino that mm-hmm. was giving away alcohol really in it for a paltry amount of points.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew a fellow that was getting them and then taking them back to liquor stores that had a no receipt required for return policy and converting them to cash at the rate of about 4%.
There are They're players who will go for any advantage. If they put a slot club on a change machine, I know players who would play it. It's just the way it is.
So just a weird little thing there. I'm not saying that you should all go do that. But
all right. We're going to give away some stuff.
Yes. Now, the numbers to call in are going to be area code 702 if you're local, obviously. 731-1230, just like the radio station, 731-1230. And if you're out of town, it's 1-866-820-5528. And well, the phone lines are now open. So, again, that local number is 731-1230.
And so the first prize we're going to give away is Michael Connick's book, audiobook.
Audiobook, that's right.
Called Smart Money. And that's going to be to caller number 6.
No, that's caller number 1.
Caller number 1.
Yep. Oh, here we go. They're coming in. Hello, you're on the air with Frank and Bob.
Yeah.
Actually, we'll give them a choice. Since you are the first caller, would you like an audio copy of Michael Connick's book, or would you like Beth Raymer's Lay the Favorite?
What's the second one?
Beth Raymer's Lay the Favorite.
And the first one.
All right. What's your first name?
Okay, Robert.
Robert, all right. Congratulations. You're a winner. Don't go away. Lawrence is going to take your information for
you. And thanks for listening to our show.
Oh, yeah, great.
All righty.
All right.
Who's our second winner?
Hello. You're on the air with Bob and Frank.
Hello.
You have won a copy of Lay the Favorite by Beth Raymer.
All right.
What's your first name?
Robert.
Are you... You can't be Robert. We just had a winner called Robert. And my name's Bob.
You are a different Robert, right?
Yeah, I actually know you, Bob.
You know me?
Yeah, this is Bob and Linda. We run into you all over town.
I can't seem to shake these folks. I have stalkers everywhere.
All right, well.
Congratulations, Robert.
I'm afraid that's going to be all we have this week for giveaways. So if you're hearing this now, that's going to be it. But thanks. Oh, wow, I see a lot of lights on the switchboard. Next week, I'm going to work on a lot more giveaways. And I think that's the month, the week we're going to have show tickets for the Palms and maybe some dinners. All right, moving right along.
Let me tell you briefly one of our guests next week. Whose name is Mark Dace, who, that name sounds rather clever. I actually helped make up that name years ago. Mark's been a friend of mine for 20 years and a strong blackjack player and has played all over the world and has some wild tales. Next week, he's going to tell us the tale of when he was winning at a casino in Russia that was apparently owned by the Russian mafia. Mark won a lot of money, and the owners didn't really take kindly to it. For the rest of the story, listen in next week.
Ooh, that sounds interesting. I'm real excited about our other guest next week, which is William G. McCown, who wrote the book Best Possible Odds. Now, if all you folks out there in Radioland haven't heard of this book, it's primarily for doctors and psychologists, psychiatrists. It is a compendium of all the different treatment strategies and paradigms of gambling addiction. Now, I talked to him on the phone, and he's not actually he's not against gambling in any way. He said that it's a really serious problem for about 2% of the people that gamble, which isn't great in the grand scheme of things. But the information we're going to be talking about is probably stuff that none of you will have ever heard about. So and he's really funny too.
Well, good.
And he's Irish, and it's St. Paddy's Day.
St. Patrick's Day. So he did promise to wear green.
Yeah.
Do our listeners have to wear green to listen in next week?
I don't know.
I think they should.
You may have to take most of the questions, though, because I'll be drinking heavily. or not.
If they refuse to wear green next Thursday, should we bar them from being a listener? I like it when Mike and Mike in the Morning always bar their listeners. They refuse to let them listen to the show anymore. I think that's kind of cool. So if you don't wear green next week, we're going to bar you from being a listener.
Enforcement may be an issue there, Bob. Okie dokie. Are we ready for team training techniques?
Yeah, I'm really interested in this. What is a team training technique?
Well, I think we discussed last week one of the, some of the differences between your students and my students. Obviously, we paid our students to sit in class and learn. It was approximately a month to a month and a half with anywhere from 2 to 3 training sessions of 3 hours to 4 hours, 3 times a week. And that's for a month and a half before we ever let them into a casino.
So 30 or 40 or 50 hours of actual training.
That's correct.
Uh-huh.
And that's to learn a basic Jacks or Better game. Very, very intensive. The other, of course, difference is we had lots of tests, which they had to pass. If they were doing poorly, we fired them. And I think we did kind of discuss that. And, of course, at the end of this training program, if we passed them, we handed them massive amounts of money to go out and play unattended without supervision on high progressives. So we had to be really confident that they knew what they were doing. Now, none of those things apply to recreational players.
None of those apply to the people who take my classes.
Not in the slightest.
My classes are volunteer. Anybody who shows up is in, and we want lots of you to show up.
Yes, and your classes are fun, which
good.
I don't know that the classes we had were fun. They were good training, but, you know, I mean, look at boot camp for the military, right? I don't think a lot of people would describe it as fun.
Oh, yeah, push-ups are fun, sure.
Exactly. Now, here is the one we have not discussed.
Okay.
And this is probably going to surprise you. Do you have any inkling as to what the biggest difference, which we have not yet discussed, between my trainees and your trainees actually was?
Well, you've actually given me some hints on this.
I've hinted
offline.
At it.
And my players generally like to play video poker.
Right. And we had applicants for the job which also like to play video poker. Matter of fact, we asked them the question, do you play video poker? And if they said, yes, we do. Do you know what we said?
Goodbye.
Ah,
that's maybe why I could never get a job as a team player. I actually tried to get a job as a team player, was not accepted.
Really?
Yes.
Yes. Now, you're probably wondering, well, why on earth, since we have a video poker progressive team, would we turn people away that like to play video poker?
Do you... Good. I think that begs for an answer.
Do you want to take a guess?
Well, if you like to play it, you probably have some bad habits.
Bingo. That is, there's more to it than that, but you've nailed it on the head. If you've ever tried to teach somebody how to play, for instance, a sport, you know, if they have been throwing a baseball a certain way since they were 3 years old, and it's not the right way, and now you want to train them how to throw it differently, first you have to unlearn them in what they've been doing, and then you can teach them the correct way to do it. And there are some types of activities, ballet dancing, for instance, which my mother, as you know, was a world-class ballet dance teacher.
Mm-hmm.
If she got a student that had been dancing incorrectly for 2 or 3 years, it was case closed. Nothing to do about it. You could not reverse the muscle memory that was ingrained in them. So we had a lot of people on our team already from when it was a slot team, because it converted from a slot team to a video poker team as mm-hmm. the slots started to die out. And most of those, of course, was video poker was just coming along. Better than half of them hadn't played video poker. So they were easy to train. The thing we discovered was the ones that did play video poker and there had been playing in their spare time were almost untrainable. We had a really, really hard time getting them to play correct strategy if they had been playing for any kind of duration. Now, what occurs to me, and this might be something that would help bring people to your class, if you have never played video poker before and you know nothing about it, I think most people would perceive that as a deficit to learning it, right?
Yeah.
It's not. It's a huge leg up.
Maybe. They at least have to be interested in it to show up at the class. I do have players who come, they're dragged by their spouse. And the spouse is interested, but they're just sitting there to keep marital harmony. And they have no interest whatsoever. I would not say it's an advantageous on them to be there.
be that as it may, the less they know. If they're a tabula rasa, you know, and completely blank slate, they're going to be very, very easy to train. Now, recently, I have seen some trends with video poker trainers.
Uh-huh.
Because obviously when we were running the team training program, we didn't have these.
You didn't have video poker for winners or any of the others.
we didn't have home PCs.
Well, you had pencil and paper.
We had pencil and paper. And we created flashcards, and we used to tape cards together and then give these tests. And my mother would hold up the 5 cards, and then they'd have to write down stuff. And we had all these things. And we're going to get into some more of that when we talk about how we corrected error types. But as far as testing, whether or not, you know, you have this already learned behaviors, here's what I suggest.
Okay.
Sit down in a video, or just, you know, if you're, in, you know, looking into yourself and introspecting here. The last time you were sitting at a video poker trainer in training mode, when it says you've got an error,
Okay.
Was your first impression to stop, look at that error, look up your strategy, see what you'd done wrong, and really think about how to not ever do this again?
If you're asking me that personally, the answer is yes.
Okay. And the answer for me would be yes.
I love to get those errors on the machine, because then I go back and correct my strategy or find out where I'm doing it.
Yeah, it's big sign stop, boom, okay, here's a thing I need to correct.
Errors are good to get.
And here's what I've seen in folks that really like video poker. The thing that's working against them is they like video poker. They like to play video poker. They want to deal that next hand, and they want to draw to those cards and see what they're going to get. And if you're playing a video poker trader at home, it doesn't matter whether you get a royal or not. It's not real money. It's just credits.
I agree.
So those folk, when they get an error, they can't wait to play it off. It's like shame that they want to bury under a rug. Have you seen this?
I do. And in class, it's the same thing. They just...
Okay, let's move on to the next thing that I know, right?
Yeah, they are so ashamed if they get it. They don't even want me to ask them questions in class because they're afraid of getting the wrong answer. And you know, I say, if you get the wrong answer, that's great. Now you've learned something.
You know your test mode, how you have the test questions?
Yes, he's talking about video poker for winners.
Video poker for winners. Here's one I saw also with somebody that turned out to be untrainable. They would start the test, and if they got one wrong, they'd restart the test.
Oh, so they kept going until they got 20 for 20. And even if they had to start the test, they had to play the test 14 times to get 20 out of 20, they would finally pass it, and therefore that meant they were good.
Right, and unfortunately what they were doing is by rote learning.
Mm-hmm.
And all they were really learning to do was to not make those mistakes on those hands in that particular order. Now, my other student, at the exact same time, I had this fellow and another fellow. He had... no experience. Zero experience with video poker. I had to teach him what a flush was.
Mm-hmm.
And slowly but surely, over the course of about 3 weeks, the guy that liked video poker and knew how to do it hit a wall and never got any better. And the other one just passed him up. It was the classic Aesop's tale of the tortoise and the hare, realized in real life. It was absolutely amazing to me how much better the person that didn't play. But you can fight these urges, right?
I think.
You like to play video poker and you don't do... that you stop when you make an error, because the errors are the important thing when you're training.
The one student I've had that I spent more time training her than all of the other private students is named Shirley. And Shirley's not a natural student at this, and firing her was not an option. So we struggled with that.
I fired my mother, from the team.
Yeah, well, that's a different. She had a different problem than what Shirley's problem was.
I did give her a $10,000 severance, though. So that was
good. Shirley would like to quit for that.
So error types. So that's one thing. So just be cognizant of these issues. If you like to play video poker, you are fighting. You're actually swimming upstream, not downstream, because you're going to want to keep playing those hands, and you need to slow down and focus on the errors, not on the big wins, which don't mean anything on a trainer anyway. Now, the three error types. How do you define those? We had basically define three major types of errors that one can make when playing a video poker machine.
Well, I actually see more than three, and it depends on how you break them up. But let's pick one error type that I find is that people who talk to others in a casino make more errors than people who don't. Now, I'm a strong player. Been doing this for years, and if I have somebody to talk to, my accuracy rate goes down from 99.99 to, 99 even or something. Sometimes it goes down that far. And because I'm concentrating on what I'm going to say next rather than playing this hand correctly. As experienced as I am, I need to concentrate on the machine to play it accurately. Players who talk back and forth, it's huge errors.
And you're right, but what you're talking about is what causes an error. I'm talking about the three types, which would be miscues. You knew what you were supposed to hold, but you didn't hit the buttons correctly.
Okay.
You didn't know the strategy. You actually held what you thought was the best thing, and it turns out to not be. Or the third type, which is the didn't see it.
Okay.
If I asked you, what's better, an open-end straight or a pair, and you're playing jacks are better, you know the pair is better. That doesn't help you if you didn't see the pair.
Well, except for King, Queen, Jack, 10 versus
yes,
pair 10.
Yes, that is correct. We're not being hypercritical here, Bob.
Oh.
So, didn't see it, didn't know it, or miscue. Okay. And those are your three basic error types. And, of course, they have very different causes. A didn't see it actually would be the error caused by talking while you're playing, right? That would be the error type caused by, you know, by talking, which you were just mentioning.
Could be, or could be a miscue. You're talking, and you know you should hold the two pairs, and instead of holding king-king-three-three, you held king-king-three.
So those are your three error types, and they have very different fixes. And okay. We did, in fact, have individual-specific regimes for further learning. So if we had a player that just occasionally didn't see a pair of deuces, you know, if they were in the first and fifth positions of the game,
okay,
we didn't fire them. And that's really good, because that happened to be my problem. If it was deuces on box, bookend deuces, I just didn't see them. And to this day, whenever I get deuces on the left and far right of the screen, I get a little skip in my heart and think, you know, because that was the hand that took me about 6 months of slowing my play down to half of what it had been to actually catch. So, but there are methods, and I don't think we're going to have time to talk about the fixes for those error types. Did you want to quickly close with our window cleaning segment?
Yeah, we have 3 minutes left.
Yeah.
So tell me what apophenia means.
Apophenia. All right, well, here's the definition, clinical definition. Apophenia is the experience of seeing meaningful patterns or connections in random or meaningless data. The term was coined in 1958 by Claus Conrad, who defined it as unmotivated seeing of connections accompanied by specific experiences of abnormal meaningfulness. Do you think that ever happens in our biz, Bob?
All the time. I have been asked by players when I was trying to teach them between holding a pair and holding a four-card flush. And their answer was, how have your flushes been running today? And if they've been getting a lot of flushes earlier in the day, then they were willing to go for the flush. If they haven't been getting a lot of flushes earlier in the day, they wanted to go for the pair, whether it's right or wrong. They thought, is that, or is that a different one?
No, that is a perfect example of apophenia. And my question to you was, you know, do you think this ever happens? Was obviously a bit of a, you know, ridiculous, because does it ever happen? Does it ever not happen? I cannot beat over people's heads that these random patterns that they see, and of course patterns do exist. You know, if you flip a coin three times, it will have come up heads or tails more often. But it's not a predictor of the future. And that's really what they're missing here. The past doesn't predict the future in independent random events.
Right. It's like being dealt a royal and think, you know, I'm starting to play better. I got a dealt royal.
So the other one I wanted to talk about actually is called the attribution substitution heuristic.
Do you have any of these window cleaning ones which have short titles to it?
These are medical terms.
Ah, okay.
All right. It's the subset doctor of the availability bias.
Oh, that,
have you heard
that
the
clears
question?
It up.
Yes. Everyone listening now, you need to try to answer this quickly in your head. If a ball and a bat cost $1.10 and the bat cost exactly $1 more than the ball, how much would the bat cost?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
Ah, well, that would be a nickel and a dollar and a nickel.
Oh, you're right. Wow. 19 out of 20 people get that wrong, and it's because of what's called the availability bias. You've heard $1.10. And you've heard a dollar. And those data points are available to your mind. Since you've never heard 5 cents or $1.05, which are the correct answer, your brain jumps on the things that were in the question that you've heard. Now, this happens all the time in video poker, and I guess we're going to have to talk about it next week in our next window cleaning segment. You all have a nice time. Say bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Tune in next week for the new and improved Gambling with an Edge. Now 15% funnier, 20% more ephemeral, with 25% longer omissions, and more ineffable than ever. We've got 150% of the things you can't easily quantify with a percentage. Gambling with an Edge, where new and improved aren't just more than words. For an archived version of tonight's broadcast, you can visit ProgressiveVP.com or BobDancer.com. The sponsors for the show are the South Point, the Silverton, and Palms Hotel and Casinos, as well as Donnie's at the website videopoker.com.
See you next Thursday night at 7 for our next rigidly scheduled period of total spontaneity. Any telecommunication provider can connect you to the world, but only Exela can do it from around the corner. Exela is the only local provider of full telecommunications and network solutions for business. Internet, voice, data, all backed by 24-hour support by real people, right here in Las Vegas. Exela provides unprecedented IP, data, and digital voice services for small business. So if you're searching for a reliable, responsive, and cost-effective alternative, Exela is what you're looking for. So whether your business needs high-speed internet, telephone service, hosting, co-location, phone systems, or high-bandwidth data solutions, Exela offers it all. We're the full-service provider that gives you everything, except the hassles of dealing with an international conglomerate, that is. Connect globally. Start locally. Contact Exela at 888-2000.
888-2000.
Or go to ExelaCom.com today. Are you tired of dishonest air conditioning and heating companies? Sotelo Air prides itself on honesty and integrity. With over 40 years of experience in the Las Vegas Valley, we service all brands of equipment. Call Sotelo Air at 702-321-1073. We offer senior and military discounts on any repairs. Plus, it's time for that winter tune-up. For proper operation of your heating system, call Sotelo Air at 702-321-1073. We want you to be comfortable this winter. Sotelo Air Conditioning and Heating, 702-321-1073.
'Cause I've got one hand in my pocket and the other one is giving a high five.
Hi, I'm Elaine, the host of Discussion Exchange with Elaine. Tune into my show every second Thursday of each month on KLAV 1230 AM at 9 o'clock PM, where we discuss various topics from local issues and anywhere else. Plus, I always like to introduce something fun to do or see, and I encourage everyone to join in and listen the second Thursday at 9 PM.
So the guy says, the duck quacked me up.
Oh, you and the jokes.
The Jerk Show, Tuesday through Saturday, midnight to 3, on KLAV, AM 1230, The Clock of Las Vegas.
Another thought-provoking interview on the Insana Quotient.
Maggie Reardon from CNET.com. All right, now, this has an impact on Verizon and its ability to sell not just Blackberries and other types of devices, but adding the iPhone to it. How does this affect the competitive phone landscape?
Well, really, it changes it quite a bit. If anybody wanted to go to Verizon, they had to...
Are you using AT&T right now?
The Insana Quotient. Weekday mornings, 4 to 6. Only on KLAV.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help.
Help is what we're here for. I'm Frank Napoli. Join us on the Frank Napoli Real Estate Hotline with real estate, law, and mortgage information. Be current on what's happening in real estate today. Learn how to protect yourself in the current market. Call in with questions. We have the answers Monday through Friday, 11 to 12. Be there.
Las Vegans, you say you need affordable legal advice? How about some free advice? Tune in to Law by Barry right here on 1230 AM, Wednesdays from 3 to 4 p.m. Just call 731-1230. That's 731-1230. And attorney Barry Levinson will take your questions on legal matters including bankruptcy, loan modifications, personal injury, and more. Remember, tune in to Law by Barry Wednesdays at 3 p.m. here on KLAV. And if you want help now, call Barry's office at 836-9696.
This is Rodeo Randy, host of the Rodeo Randy Show. I'll keep you in the know with all the happenings in the exciting sport of rodeo locally and around the country, along with news about the Little Britches, high school, and college rodeos. The Rodeo Randy Show will air every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time here on KLAV Radio and is streamed live worldwide on KLAV1230AM.com. So for all the rodeo action, catch the Rodeo Randy Show, where cowboys go to listen.
Hi, this is Joe Elliott from Def Leppard for Rad. Planning on going out and having a party? Great. Have a lot of fun.
But do me a big favor and don't blow it. Always choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives. You should too.
This mission is too important for me to allow you to jeopardize it.
You're listening to KLAV Las Vegas.